Hi, Brad Hayes. I'm glad you're here with us. I wanted to talk to you about one of your real areas of expertise, which is the Supreme Court. Now, there are some observers who think that the five Republicans or Republican appointees who sit on the United States Supreme Court have turned out to be, partisan politicians as opposed to those who understand the neutrality of jurisprudence. I wonder what you think.
Well, I think that critique can be levied, and it does have some weight. We've seen a conservative court emerge as conservative presidents have appointed conservative jurists. But in some ways, I think this term is a really interesting test for that kind of a thesis, in the sense that there are some cases that we would expect to see, kind of very clear 5-4 conservative liberal splits on the court, such as the case coming out of Arizona that's testing their immigration law, obviously the challenges to the Affordable Care Act. And there have been some indications, particularly in the immigration law, that the splits aren't going to be as 5-4 as we might expect, that in fact there might be a greater coherence to the court than initially expected if we're simply looking at ideology. Now, that doesn't mean that ideology is not a motivating factor, but that rather it's a mix, that the Supreme Court is concerned both with ideology and its legal precedents. So there's kind of a mix between the two. And this term should be an interesting opportunity to kind of see that play out.
Well, the court certainly has gotten a black eye from Citizens United, declaring that, corporations are people and allowing them to spend all the money they want, on elections. I hear a great deal about that here at WAMC. Earlier, by also a very narrow margin, they declared that the Republicans would win, Bush would win over Gore, and people are beginning to think of this as a partisan operation.
They are, and I think actually the public opinion numbers do bear that out. What we see are kind of declining levels of trust in the Supreme Court as an institution. And it really is quite low. Even, within the last 20 years, we've seen it drop under 50% support levels. And I think some of that reflects very closely to what you're talking about, this notion that it's simply politics and not rule of law. And if you look at things like the way people expect the healthcare law to come out, many more people say it's going to be a matter of policy or political philosophy and not as a matter of law. Going back to your point about Citizens United, I think it's a really interesting chance for the court to kind of play with this notion of ideology. In the next term, the Supreme Court is likely to hear an appeal coming out of the state of Montana. Montana prohibited corporations from spending money to support or oppose candidates when it's corporations doing the spending, so which is in really direct violation of the Citizens United case. Now, that statute was originally enacted in 1912, I believe it was in 1912 or 1914. But the state Supreme Court of Montana, in a 5-2 decision, upheld the law. And what they essentially said was that there was a lot of corporate corruption in the public sphere at the time that the law was passed, and so that the state had a compelling state interest in precluding corporate donations to those running for office. And one of the other interesting things is even those in dissent took shots at Citizens United. It was a 5-2 decision, but there was a dissenting opinion written by Judge James Nelson, and he had the following statement. Again, this is in dissent, so in support of Citizens United.
And this is on the state court.
This is on the state court.
Talking about Citizens United.
Right. Yeah. He wrote, if Citizens United puts individuals and corporations on the same level, then it is truly ironic that the death penalty and hell are reserved only to natural persons, right? A great line and a strong critique, right, of what's going on in the Supreme Court. So, in Montana, we think of as a conservative state, right? And yet we have this kind of opinion that might be associated with kind of the more liberal wing of the court coming out. And the Supreme Court's going to be left dealing with this. And it'll be an interesting opportunity for them to reassess whether, in fact, if a state can show a compelling state interest in regulating forms of speech, whether that passes constitutional muster and could, in fact, be upheld.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it's a slap in the face to the Supreme Court by the Montana court. And the whole concept of precedents and following precedents laid down by the federal court, which over, you know, our constitutional history takes precedence over the state courts, that could really be something.
Yeah, it's really actually interesting because the Supreme Court, it was obviously appealed to the court, and the court did, in fact, put a stay on this. So basically a hold on this so the corporations could continue to donate directly and independently to campaigns. But Justice Ginsburg attached an opinion to the stay.
And fascinating.
Yeah, and said two things. One, she said, you know, no, the Montana Supreme Court needs to follow our edicts.
And
right?
She was on the other side.
And she's on the other side. But then she said, but second, that what Montana has done is demonstrate that some of the assumptions in Citizens United are wrong. Right. And so she wants to, in some ways, have it both ways, that, you know, the integrity of the court is important and the rule of law requires, you know, state courts to follow what it has ruled. But that, you know, this is not an infallible institution and that sometimes it gets stuff wrong and that it should see these as opportunities to reassess.
But the real question here is whether in saying that Justice Ginsburg was saying we're a political institution here, the Supreme Court, and if we think things aren't going right, we should say so, as opposed to do corporations have this power or not?
Yeah, well, or at if, I mean, I don't know if she's saying that they're political. I mean, I'm not sure that they really deny that there's a political element going on here, but certainly that they're not infallible, that judges are humans and they make mistakes. And clearly, in, you know, when in fact somebody is writing a dissenting opinion, they are saying that they believe that the majority side got it wrong and they got it wrong for these reasons. And I think what Ginsburg was doing there was simply affirming that belief and saying that, you know, what we thought was going on in the Citizens United case, we got wrong.
You know, I seldom do this as we speak, Brad, as you know, but I have an intense personal opinion here, and I think that the court has shamed itself.
With the Citizens United case?
I do.
I mean, I think very clearly, and I'm showing my own bias here, but there has been some rather poor public policy generated out of the Citizens United case. And we are stuck dealing with that reality.
But they had to know this was going to happen.
I think so, although it'll be interesting to see if, in fact, they reel this in a little bit and allow states to demonstrate a compelling state interest to create more regulations, which would not open the floodgates for regulation, but it may, in fact, make Citizens United less sweeping than it currently is.
Professor Brad Hayes, one of our favorite people here at WAMC. Brad, it's always great of you to give us all this time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.